10th chapter. We're going to be in verse 38, only reading through verse 42. I'm going to suggest to you a different take on that. But kind of give away the ending of the lesson here. Don't just do something. Stand there. Because hectic busyness is probably the number one killer of spirituality in our relationship with God in our life. If you are like most Americans, you probably feel overworked, underpaid, and over-caffeinated. We are having to do more and more than we've ever had to do before as a society. And it's just little menial tasks that have piled on that are time killers in our life. Now, one example of that is the self-checkout line at Safeway or our bashes. I love it. I don't have to deal with people when I don't want to deal with people. But it's a little bit slower process. And you do that week after week, and just on that one little thing, that adds up time. It sucks away from your energy because it stacks up. Pumping your own gas, checking out your own groceries, you're doing all this stuff, and it takes away. Now, we're going to read of a situation where a woman who felt so hectic, so busy, that actually in the middle of her busyness, she barks orders at our Lord. Now, I would suggest to you that perhaps some of us here this morning aren't busy enough that we would bark orders to our Lord. We've taken for granted the relationship we have with Him, because here we're going to read about Martha and Mary, who, from other sections of the text, and by how Jesus comes to their home, we kind of gather that they are very familiar with each other. It seems that Jesus stopped by quite often. We're reading verse 38. Now, as they were traveling along, He entered the village, and a woman named Martha welcomed her into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was sitting at the Lord's feet, listening to His word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to Him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." The problem of busyness. You ever had a day where you just felt like you were running hectic the whole day, and you get home, finally you're able to sit down, kick off your shoes, and you look back at the day, and you really can't pinpoint anything that you really accomplished that day? See, Martha's having one of those days. No one told her she needed to do all these things. She just started doing them. And granted, you like to have something when the company comes over, especially if it's the Lord. You know, this is perhaps like a situation where she's busy trying to get a pot roast together with a full 5-course meal and the whole works and everything, and she's running to and fro, and you can almost see the scene, her running in and out of the kitchen, and each time she walks by, she's looking at her sister Mary, and each time the eyes get more piercing. Like, why is she not helping me? And finally, she just has enough. She stops. "Lord, would you tell her to get up and help me? Look at all this stuff I'm doing for you. I'm trying to set the table here. She's doing nothing." And Jesus almost, we can picture Him saying, "Well, Martha, sandwiches would have been fine. You're busying yourself with stuff that doesn't matter. You're taking all this pressure and work and going to and fro, and you're working yourself up into a tight wad of just nerves, and it's not necessary." See, Christians fall underneath this trap too, because we think we're doing so many of these good works that the Bible would teach that we ought to be doing, visiting the poor, caring for the sick, and giving to the needy. And no one's disputing that Martha was doing good things. Who doesn't like a good meal when you have company over? I know I do. But you can get yourself all worked up and missing out on the best thing in life, even doing the good works. Balance is the key. And no one's debating what Martha's doing here. gets to it. Do you not care, Lord? You know, sometimes in our prayers we might ask that question. We feel so busy sometimes. We get to the end of the week and we're just exhausted. In our prayers, we're asking for comfort and perhaps release, and our life might get less complicated. And we might be saying it the right way with veneration and reverence for God, but we're really having the attitude of Martha. Don't you care that I'm this busy? Don't you care that I'm stressed out? And the Lord's answer to our prayer would be the same He told Martha. Why are you this busy? Why are you so engaged in all these different things? It's not necessary. And make no mistake, this is probably the text that I've been preaching this morning. This probably applies, if I could venture a guess, more to me than perhaps some of you. But as the preacher's temptation, if I may use myself, is to be everywhere and do everything. That's not healthy for anyone. And every Christian will perhaps feel this because we feel that we ought to be doing more, we ought to be involved in more things, and Jesus is saying, no, just tone it down. Pull it back. He says to Martha there, going on in the text, Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part. Think about that. You are so busy in these preparations. You're going back to and fro. The Messiah is sitting in your living room. And you're more busy, you're more concerned about whether or not the chicken's going to get burnt. Instead of sitting there at his feet learning from the master teacher. Again, we do the same thing today. We run around to and fro from the moment the sun rises to the sun sets. From the moment our feet touch the floor in the morning till we lay down at night, we are go, 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 go. To our own detriment with the Lord. Granted, we don't have the Lord Himself in physical form, but you have His words. I have His words. And we go so much. But sometimes the most important text, most important thing in our lives. We might pick it up. You know, there was a satirical headline from the Babylon Bee. It says, local man's Bible excited to be read the first week of January again. Well, sometimes we'll get excited about reading this and we won't make the time, we won't carve out the time, and so it sits down on the coffee table on the shelf until next January. I'm hoping for your sake and my sake that no one here does that. So what's the answer? Well, Jesus gave it. Why are you bothered by so many things? Why are you doing all this stuff? No one's asking you to do it. No one's requiring you to do it. You're letting all these different things pull you a million different directions, and it's pulling you away from that which matters most, your walk with the Lord. One thing is needed in this life, and it's to sit at the feet of the Master and learn. And our frantic busyness, again, is one of the biggest killers of our relationship with the Lord. I'll quickly go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, starting verse 18. In the explanation of the parable of the sower, he gets to the seed thrown on the thorny ground. And he says, and others are the ones whom the seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word. But the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. As we bring this to a close, I want to ask you a few pointed questions. Are you unhappy with your spiritual growth? Are you frustrated that your relationship with the Lord isn't what it used to be? Are you tired of being tired? busyness and the cares of this world, it will, it will choke out the word. And that goes for the sinful temptations, but it also goes for the good works. Even Jesus himself took time to commune with God. Oftentimes in his ministry, he would be dealing with crowds again all day, and he's just trying to find one quiet place just for prayer and meditation. Balance. Balance is the key. So as you go home this week, think about it. Don't just do something. Sit there. If you are tired of being tired, the Lord promises that all who come to him and are weary and heavy laden, he will give them rest. He will give you rest from your sins and your sorrows. He will renew in you a clean heart and will restore to you a soul, your healthy soul, if you would come to him in obedient faith this morning. If you want to look in Acts chapter 2 as we bring this to a close. Acts chapter 2, we're going to be around verse 37 to begin with. Peter's just gotten done preaching the whole gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he has accused them, rightfully so. They have been convicted that they put to death the Messiah. And he says, the text says in verse 37, "Now when they," the crowd, "heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' Peter said to them, 'Repent, and each one of you be baptized in the